Good day again from Grace Baptist Church. We are now entering our Sunday school message. I have just been blessed by being able to hear our dear brother Bobby Quick in a rendition of Blessed Assurance, which has set the tone in my heart. What a blessing it was. In putting these messages together, Brother Gene and myself, I actually follow the two messages that he does, and I usually get here as he's closing his second message. So I was able this morning again to hear Brother Bobby play the piano at the end of Gene's second message. What a blessing. I highly recommend it. Today, thankfulness and contentment. I pray we will see from this message that your thankfulness to the Lord God is in direct connection to your contentment with the Lord God. This message is directed to God's people, that is, Christians. On the other hand, to those who reject the forgiveness of your wrongdoings against God by the only way God provides for you through Christ alone, I must be upfront and truthful with you about this Sunday school teaching. If you have no intention to bow the knee to the authority of God, to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have no interest in the instruction given in this lesson. In fact, you will find what I am going to teach to be diametrically opposed to a common world view. If you profess to be a Christian, be careful. Be careful in this message not to agree with what I'm going to say as things we take for granted. But let's examine ourselves and see if we practice these things of Christ from the heart, or if we are simply going through the motions with no heartfelt intentions. That's a point that I often bring to your attention. Human beings are caught up in looking upon the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. And He knows what's in your heart. He knows your real feelings. He knows your real intentions. No one can hide anything from God. Hebrews 4:13, more literally, reads, "And there is not a creature hidden before Him," hidden before God. You can't hide from God. "But uncovered and laid bare are all things to the eyes of Him to whom is our accountability." Thankfulness and contentment, these are attitudes of the heart and mind for which all human beings who have ever lived must give account. I pray you heard that. God is going to hold all of us If you're a human being, God is going to hold all of us accountable for our thankfulness and contentment in regard to Him. The true Christian, of whom much will be required, must be careful to abound in these virtues, thankfulness and contentment, so as to please their Heavenly Father and their Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the heart of every born-again child of God to do this as moved by the Spirit of God who indwells us. Paul's letters to the Christians at Galatia and Rome address this very, very clearly. In writing to the Galatians, Paul said, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. If you're a Christian today, that speaks of you. In writing to the Romans, Paul says, those who live their lives according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. There's a but following that. Because Christians, we all realize and we are all keenly aware of the very formidable enemies that we must face every single day. We are in a war with these enemies. Number one, this present evil age, the world we live in today. It's an enemy. Our own flesh, in which sin still dwells. And last but not least, something most people laugh about, we have an evil spirit and many evil spirits, the devil and demonic spirits who follow him, that we must war against as well. With that in mind, I want us to consider more closely these two virtues, thankfulness and contentment. They go together, folks. The noun thankfulness appears only one time in the King James Version of the New Testament. The most common translation we see in the New Testament from the same Greek root is thanks, another noun, thanks. And that is followed by, numerically speaking, how many times it appears, by the word thanksgiving. Thanks, thanksgiving, and thankfulness are all words expressing our gratitude, our gratefulness. And in the most important sense, our gratitude, our gratefulness unto our most gracious God and Savior. We have much, much to be grateful for when looking unto the Lord our God. These words, most deeply, when we consider them in their meaning, most deeply have to do with feeling or showing the highest favor toward the object favored. Think about that. Which in turn means feeling and showing the highest approval of and preference for the one we are favoring. God and God alone is deserving of that kind of approval. He does not need it, but he does require it from all of his elect people. Because it demonstrates, it shows the praise of the glory of his grace, which he works in and through his people by the Holy Spirit. How do you and I measure up as professed Christians in that area? Do we offer from the heart? Do we offer from the heart thanks, thanksgiving, and thankfulness, expressing our gratitude, our gratefulness unto our most gracious God and Savior? Do you? Do I feel heartfeltedly and show the highest favor, approval, and preference for Christ by these offerings of thanks? Once again, I pray by the Spirit of God that you're listening to these things. They're so, so true. Are you and I, are we obedient to the Scriptures concerning our faith in and love of our Lord? Please, please listen very closely. Ephesians 5:20 begins with these words: giving thanks at all times. I think your King James says always. Giving thanks at all times for all things. Did you hear that? Giving thanks at all times for all things. When are Christians to give thanks? At all times. What time does that leave for you to be unthankful to God? Never. And for what are we to give thanks? All things, everything. What does God put into your life that you should not be thankful for? Friends, God does all things well. He doesn't make any mistakes. And everything that comes into your life by one way or another comes by the hand of God. That verse that we just read, the portion of that verse, also states that our thanks, our gratitude, our highest favor must be offered to our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. I've really considered this. Do we realize the depth of that thanksgiving? The depth of that thanksgiving. To give thanks, to feel and show the highest approval of God, and for all things he brings our way. This is right at the center of living the Christian life, the dead center. Our thanksgiving is not to stop at the offering for all things, but at all times, this is required. Now think about this as we go through from that statement. Peter says this: beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to test you. Fiery trial. Can you picture that fiery trial speaks of severe circumstances. In such times and conditions, God's will for us remains clear. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, not only for, but in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. For everything and in everything, at all times, we are to be offering thanksgiving to God because we love Him and we trust Him. Psalm 62:9. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Do you need a refuge today? Do you need some help today? Are you going through some very, very fiery time? A severe time? Trust in Him at all times. That trust, that faith of the Christian works by love. Galatians 5:6. And matches up well with Romans 8:28. And this is for Christians. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. You know, we have this common saying, I know in this country we do, well, everything's going to work out for the best. Friends, if you're not a Christian today, that's not close to being true. Just look around. Christians know, should know, and I say that to myself, I should know that all things work together for my good. Because I love God. All the scriptures I've just read, all these scriptures are true, but where are you and I when God sends a fiery, severe, and grievous trial into our lives? Now, I want to bring this as a timely week for this kind of a message. Let's bring it down to where the rubber meets the road. Would you be extending the highest favor toward our Lord by way of thanksgiving in and for everything? Loving and trusting God from the heart, if one of the children murdered in Texas this week was yours? I think probably all of you are aware of that. 19 children, ages 9 and 10, and two teachers murdered in a school. Where would you be? Where would I be in my thanksgiving to God if one of those children was mine? Now, if thankfulness would be a problem, in other words, if we were not being thankful, I want to give some biblical insight into the heart of the problem for being unthankful during such a grievous trial. And folks, that's a grievous trial. The bottom line of not being thankful in and for everything is found in the opposite of what we see in 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy 6:6 reads, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." The opposite of that would read, "Ungodliness with discontentment is great loss." Now, for our purpose today, in this message, the best synonym for contentment is satisfaction. Think about that. Contentment is satisfaction. If you are satisfied, you are content. In his letter to the saints at Philippi, Paul says this for our learning. "I have learned," says Paul, "I have learned in whatever condition I am in to be content." He went on just a few words later to use these words, "Everywhere and in all things I have learned." Think of all the fiery, grievous, severe trials the Apostle Paul endured. And may I read you his own account of his life in that area. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. "From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one." 5 times he was whipped near death. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. Folks, you're pretty well dead when they stone you. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep. Journeys often. Perils of waters. Perils of robbers. Perils of countrymen. Perils of the Gentiles. Perils in the city. Perils in the wilderness. Perils in the sea. Perils among false brethren. What are perils? Serious, immediate dangers to your life. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. He doesn't mean complete nakedness, I don't believe. It just means not enough clothes when it's cold. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Folks, he had a lot of problems concerning the churches, in addition to these other things we just read. Indeed, Paul learned in all these serious and immediate dangers that were obviously grievous and painful, both physically and emotionally. Now think about that. He learned to be content. That's what he just said. He learned to be content. He learned to be satisfied in the midst of suffering. Remember, I said this message was for Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul could only do this because the object of his satisfaction, his contentment, was Christ. Paul said this, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, what does he mean there by the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord? I think it means by knowing Christ personally, having fellowship with Christ personally, knowing him intimately. He goes on, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. I'm going to press you, and I'm going to press me again. Where is our greatest satisfaction? Examine yourself. Where is your greatest satisfaction? In what are you content? In what do we trust the most? Where does our trust lie the most? Our bank account? The property we may own? Maybe we have none of those things. What do you love above all else? Folks, these are serious questions. If you would profess to be a Christian, if I would profess to be a Christian, we must answer those questions. What do I love the most? If the answer to all those questions is not found in Christ, in Christ alone, you will not be thankful for everything. You won't be thankful for everything that happens to you. Nor will you be thankful in your particular circumstances. If, it's a big word, if you love Christ above all, you will trust Christ above all. Your faith works by love. If you truly, another really big word, if you truly love and trust him, you will be content. You will be satisfied with whatever God sends your way. Please remember, nothing comes your way except the Lord God sends it by way of allowance or causing it to happen. That contentment, that satisfaction will come because you know by faith, which works by love, that all things are working together for your good. Friends, I'm fearful for you and I'm fearful for me. I wonder if we really believe that. Or is that just some verse, again, that we take for granted? And it's not applied to our very own lives. Knowing all things are working together for our good. Again, not everybody can say that. Very few people can say that. Because very few people are Christians. And please remember, we know by faith. Again, some situations, some circumstances seem to be impossible for us to be thankful. But with God, all things are possible. And God's grace is sufficient for whatever trial he sends our way. Christian, there is no way out when it comes to particular things we must suffer in order to know Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings. There is no more intimate knowledge of Christ than to know Him in His sufferings. And remember from last week, to whom much has been given in our salvation, much will be required in the way of thanksgiving. I close with this. Thanksgiving depends greatly upon contentment. Thanksgiving depends greatly upon contentment. Are you content in Christ? Think about that. Pray about that. Amen.